Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us this hour. I'm Amy Fuller here on the YouTube America TV Network and on Biz Talk Radio. Thank you to our affiliates, and we see you on Roku and the YTA Club streaming. YTAClub.com is where you can find us at all times. We have some great guests coming up. We have Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. The Democrats are sounding off tonight and tomorrow, 20 of them, all hoping for that 2020 presidential bid on the Democratic card. Will they do a circular firing squad and mess up all their chances to beat Trump? We will see, and we'll chat with Senator Ted about that and the other political headlines of the day. Also, Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think. Are you a neck up or a neck down eater? So it's talking about eating your emotions. It adds weight and solves nothing else. It's called emotional eating. Dr. Mantel will talk about exactly what it is and how to avoid it. So that'll be interesting for all of us, won't it? In the news trending, Beth Chapman has passed away. The reality star, wife of Dog the Bounty Hunter, lost her battle with throat cancer. She passed away just this morning, age 51. She had been in a medically induced coma at a Honolulu hospital, died surrounded by her family. She and her husband were the stars of that hit reality show, which chronicled their family-owned bounty hunting business. It aired from 04 to 2012. Then they moved to another network, and since then they were even working on a new show yet to air. And today, Dog the Bounty Hunter put a tribute up to her, and then other people are sounding off on Twitter. There will never be another Beth Chapman. Her heart and passion was to make people's lives straight through tough love. Everyone offering prayers. Her husband said she hiked the stairway to heaven this morning. And again, the Democratic presidential hopefuls for 2020, all very busy. This is the night one of two, facing off of two nights of televised debates. 20 did qualify for the primary debates in total, with the Democratic National Committee dividing the first primary debate into 2 days, 10 candidates each night. Happening in Miami tonight and tomorrow, they did a randomized drawing to determine which candidates will appear in which debates, and just by chance, four of the top five candidates in the polls are in the same debate. That'll be tomorrow night, Thursday night. NBC News opted to conduct that debate on the second night with those four together. And then, you know, Laura Trump, get the popcorn ready. The hosts are Savannah Guthrie, Lester Holt, Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and Jose Diaz-Balart. Trump says he'll be live tweeting, so that'll be fun, won't it? So check that out. President Trump spent the day, the part of the morning and afternoon, speaking at a gathering of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, where he said, keep the prayers coming. It is very important at this juncture in American history. We want to tell you we'll be hearing some of his remarks throughout this hour. And let's go ahead and start listening right now.
It's wonderful to be back here with so many friends and patriots, pastors, rabbis, and a record number of students. Thank you all for the tireless work that your steadfast support and your daily prayers just it's incredible what it's done, and just keep them coming. Very important. Keep them coming. We're in an interesting time in our country's history, and we're doing great. Just keep them coming. It's very fragile. You know, it's one vote. It's one justice. It's one little thing, and it can all change. You have to be very hard, very vigilant. You have to go out and vote. November 3rd is a big date next year. November 3rd. Mark it down. But I want to thank you for your voice, your time, and your energy, and to knock on doors and make calls and educate voters and mobilize your fellow Americans. Because with your help, we will soon once again win a historic victory for life, for family, for faith, and for freedom. After just 2.5 years, our country is soaring. Our communities are thriving. Our economy is booming, perhaps like never before. We may have the greatest economy in the history of our country. And we're once again defending and promoting our great American values. And we're saying Merry Christmas again. Do you know this? Remember? Are his boys here? He's got the best looking family. I don't know how he did it. His wife is beautiful. Let me see. Stand up. Look at that. What a family. What a family. Bill, say a few words.
Doesn't know how I did it. With all due respect,
it's a bad crowd.
You're a very attractive man, but Melania has the edge. Do you mind? You'll excuse that. He's from Queens. I'm from Brooklyn. We talk like that.
Two New York boys. That was some. This is some funny moments from the Faith and Freedom Coalition gathering today, where President Trump spoke and Dr. Bill Bennett, very influential conservative voice, was honored. Faith and Freedom Coalition's been around about 10 years doing their thing. So we're going to hear a little bit more of President Trump's remarks later in the show. But for right now, we're going to chat with the head of the Committee to Defend the President, and that is President Donald J. Trump, who beat Hillary Clinton to take the White House, and he's going to try to do it again. Senator Harvey, welcome back. And I know your PAC started as an anti-Hillary PAC, trying to keep her out of the White House. So we can chat a little bit about that. We can chat about the Democratic debates tonight and tomorrow. And I know you were at a big fancy schmancy Trump dinner last night in Washington. What's going on? How's everything going, Senator?
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Yes, the Democrats are showing their stripes this week in Washington, D.C. I came out for an event, actually, that Vice President Pence is having tomorrow for lunch. It's a fundraiser for the reelection PAC. Mm-hmm. And so I came out for that event. But then we saw that there was a couple other congressional fundraisers that our members of our PAC have supported these candidates over the last several years. So I came out on Monday to go to a Marsha Blackburn fundraiser and give her a maxed out contribution from our members. And then while I was here, I learned that the president was having a fundraising dinner last night for his campaign. So I attended on the behalf of our members a dinner that he had of about 100 donors at the Trump International Hotel here in Washington, D.C. That was a pretty special night to be in that intimate of a setting with the president and his family. And it was interesting because they would not allow any telephones to be there. There was no recordings. There was no pictures being taken. And it was the president of the United States as a New Yorker. And he was up there telling stories without any fear of what anybody was saying. And it was kind of funny. It was kind of hilarious. He did drop an F-bomb at one point when he was talking about the Democrats coming after him. And he's like, what you think I'm going to do? It was pretty funny that he's not ashamed of the fact that he's fighting back, and he's going to do everything he can to defend himself and defend his administration. And I don't blame him for doing that. And that's why he is being so successful, because really, this is the Democrats' modus operandi, is to attack Republicans, call them racists, call them bigots. And they've never had a Republican nominee, a Republican candidate, actually fight back and punch them back and be a street fighter. And Trump is doing that. He's not falling back into the fetus position the way the Republicans usually do. And the Democrats don't know how to handle that. And that's why they continue to, and the media, manifest before our very eyes, because they're not used to being pushed back.
I think there are so many reasons for the Democrats to be scared. For one thing, Trump is always off script. They never know what he's going to do. He speaks plainly. He speaks like plain language.
A New Yorker.
Yeah, like New Yorkers. And even, but you know, middle America, these flyover states where I'm from, we understand, we get it. We feel like he's talking to us and not at us. He's not trying to make up some sort of political lexicon, some political speech. We know that when he's being perhaps politically incorrect, he's
talking from his heart.
He's being authentic in a way that politicians usually don't do. And that's why we don't like politicians sometimes. And
exactly,
it just
right.
makes you wonder, the Democrats, besides worrying about him, they have to worry about what they're all doing tonight, this hour, as we speak, they're going on the air. And then tomorrow night, too. And the worry about that is just overused already, but the circular firing squad, that they will assault each other so much that Trump will get ahead in the polls and eventually in the election. So your thoughts on that, and later I want to ask you if you have any drinking games thought up for for tonight.
Well, I think you're right. I think that it is going to be a circus. I think the Democrats are going to see who is more left. You know, somebody's going to say, well, I'm for bringing down any walls. I want to have open borders. I'm for infanticide. I believe you should be able to kill babies after birth. I'm for the Green New Deal, where nobody can drive cars and nobody can fly airplanes. And then they're going to go around the circle and they're all going to say, me too, me too, me too, me too. Every single one of these candidates are radical leftists on the most extreme edge of the political spectrum in America. And they're all going to try to outdo themselves, because that's where the radical left Democratic base is in America right now. And they won't be able to win a primary unless they go that far to the left. So now the country is left with your moderate Democrats, your moderate unaffiliateds, looking at this pool of candidates and saying, that's not the JFK Democrats of my fathers and my grandfathers. These guys are whack jobs and they don't represent me. And so these Democrats and unaffiliateds are going to be left saying, well, do we go after these folks, or do we go after the guy who's actually delivered on his promises and brought us all these new jobs and gone after and destroyed ISIS, that has done everything that he promised that he would do on tariffs and going after the China trade deals and all the things that are unfair with our trade agreements with our trading allies. I think these moderate Democrats and unaffiliateds are going to say, I'm going with the guy that's brought us all this prosperity.
So tonight we have Senator Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, Tim Ryan, and Bill de Blasio, some others we haven't heard of. And
then one other.
Yeah?
John Hickenlooper, my former governor here in the state of Colorado.
Oh, is that
and
so?
when he was going in to get his credentials today, the security person looked up and said, are you here to get your press credentials? And the governor said, no, I'm a candidate.
Oh, gosh, that's fun. Well, he's tomorrow
that
night.
That tells you where the Democrat bench is, that a very successful 8-year governor, nobody knows who he is.
Just unknown. But he's tomorrow. If you're watching the first iteration of America Trends, this is airing Wednesday night. He's tomorrow night with Biden and Sanders. We're going to chat more about this and what it means. And then, Ted, again, I need to know your drinking games when we come right back after this on America Trends with Senator Harvey. One of the presidential primary debate for Democrats, televised by MSNBC, NBC, and Telemundo, hosted by some of their anchors, etc. And we have Cory Booker tonight, Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, Bill de Blasio, and some of the other heavy hitters, the big four, are tomorrow. We're here with Senator Ted Harvey, former state senator from Colorado, now head of the Committee to Defend the President, the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. He's coming to us from D.C., where he had dinner with President Trump and about 100 of his best friends last night. And Ted, that was pretty fun, I understand. And you're going to be there this week watching all this go down. Do you have any drinking games? I mean, we were talking here in the studio about every time. It's so annoying when any politician says, let me be clear. I could go on and on about it. It's just some semantic tool to make it seem like you know what you're talking about and everyone else is stupid. But I wonder if that might be a good one, or if you have any drummed up or dreamed up.
Unstable. I think every Democrat's going to try to make the point that the president is unstable. And okay. I think that that's all the Democrats have. Yeah, to run against the president is that he's not fit for office, even though he's, you know, fulfilling every promise that he made to make America great again. And all they have to run on is, we're a bunch of leftists and we hate Donald Trump. Let's see which narrative the constituents want to support. I think in the end it's going to be Donald Trump.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, what a joke. They really just have to distract about how much silliness. Well, there are things like Obama not endorsing Biden, which seems like it could have been a given, and you're wondering why or why not. But I also wonder what topics you think what issues will be at the forefront? Will it be free tuition? Will it be the border? Will it be abortion? What do you think that they will hang their hats on, each group, tonight and tomorrow?
Well, I think it's interesting that every single one of the candidates essentially co-signed on to the Green New Deal. That is one of the most radical bills that has ever been introduced in Congress. And every one of the U.S. senators that are running supported that bill, co-signed that bill.
But they all probably
They
all probably flew to Miami in their jets, though, for the debates, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And every one of them is for open borders and have voted that way. Those that are in Congress have voted that way. And every one of them voted for late-term abortions. This is where the Democrat Party is right now. And then they all voted to, at least, I guess I can't say that because this was a House bill. But in the House, every single Democrat voted to say that men should be able to run in female sports and not be excluded from female sports. So all of our daughters and sisters and the women out there who have spent their entire lives getting ready to perform in the Olympics are getting knocked out because men are now running in their races. That's where the Democrat Party is. They are as extreme as they possibly can be on every one of these issues. And I don't know who's going to separate themselves as a common sense Democrat that we used to have 20 years ago.
You know, Senator Ted, this is a little off topic, but what's on topic with what you're speaking of? But you can have an open mind and hear people say, I'm transgender, I was born a woman, I want to be a man, and you can hear their heartfelt pleas and why they do this. But then when you hear things like there are, I don't know, 29, 32 different genders that are being recognized, you just have to pull your hair out and say, what is going on?
Well, yes, it is. We should be compassionate for people who are in those situations, but 99% of the time, that's not what is going on. And we have a Democrat Party that's trying to force their radical lifestyles down the throats of America without America having any say in it.
Also this week about Google censoring censoring conservative voices again, and then the whole Veritas thing. What exactly is going on, and will this ever be remedied? I mean, Google is a huge force.
Well, it's not just Google. It is Google, it is Facebook, it is Twitter. They are doing everything they can to try to eliminate any discussion on the topics that are confronting America and have people from the left and have people from the right have an open discussion about these issues. They are taking down conservative thought makers on these platforms. And what came out yesterday was a Veritas investigation video showing how a whistleblower in Google came forward with a ton of documentation showing that Google is doing everything they can to put their thumb on the scale and make sure that conservative commentators are not coming up on their search engines and that the conservative thought is not being brought forward to the American population. And they did this on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. They delisted a ton of Dennis Prager University videos, and those are the most benign, thoughtful pieces that anybody could have out there, yet YouTube delisted them. They delisted Jordan Peters and other conservatives. And I believe that they're a corporation. We shouldn't be telling them what they can do and they can't do. But as conservatives, they should not be watching and giving money to these corporations if they are going to be denying conservatives their ability to have their voices heard.
A lot of people who are watching these platforms and with the same complaints that we're speaking about this hour, they don't want government regulation. However, it's almost like some of these companies are begging for it. So another thing to be continued, Senator Ted. Also want to get to Robert Mueller has agreed to testify. I think the date is July 17th. What do Congress people want to hear about? What do you think is going to happen? A lot of people are saying this is just not going to go well for Mueller. Didn't he already say his piece with his report?
Well, I think it's interesting that the Democrats are bringing him forward, and they waited as long as they possibly could to finally bring forward a subpoena so that they can extend this entire narrative, this collusion conspiracy narrative that they've been dealing with for the last 33 months. So now he's not going to be here this month. He's going to be here next month. And if you look at what his press conference was last month in May, it was essentially a drive-by character assassination of the president. He didn't bring forward any new information. There was no reason for him to have that press conference. The only reason why he did is to continue this narrative that there was obstruction of justice, which obviously there was not obstruction of justice. He didn't stop the investigation from going forward. He didn't fire Mueller. He allowed all of his people to testify. He didn't do any executive privilege, which was totally within his rights. But the Democrats want to continue this because in 2018, having this cloud over the president, over the Republican Party, is what allowed them to take back the House of Representatives. Yeah. So they think that using that same strategy moving forward into the 2020 election is going to help them defeat the president and probably try to take back the House and the Senate again. Mm-hmm. So I think that Mueller coming forward is probably going to be a good thing for Republicans, because finally we will be able to cross-examine the prosecutor. Because up to this point, the president has never had his chance to speak, and neither have the Republican senators been able to ask any questions.
In 10 seconds, Ted, can you tell us how to support your PAC? I know you're trying to sign a million new voters.
Yes, ma'am. Go to committeetodefendthepresident.com. Go to our webpage. And I wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday.
You're so kind, Senator Harvey. The committeetodefendthepresident.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Hey, welcome back. Are you a neck up or neck down eater? That's such a great way to put it. Eater, E-A-T-E-R. Talking about emotional eating this hour, we're here with Dr. Michael Mantel, one of the most sought after behavioral transformation coaches. Did I say that right?
You did, exactly.
It's so interesting. In the whole world, actually. And the author of The Link Is What You Think, most recently, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff. Now this is the classic, and it's also been reissued, so you can get it right now on Amazon or at Dr. Mantel's website, and also his latest too. And you have a workplace one too that's a really good book.
Yes, I wrote that right after the back in the 80s, called Ticking Bombs, mm-hmm. Diffusing Violence in the Workplace. Whole other topic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One that a lot of people get so upset about, of course, that they eat themselves into the topic today.
Well, everyone
has.
How was
that for an incredible way to tie it all together?
Such a good
happy
segue.
Birthday!
Oh, thank you. A couple
let's
days
have
back,
cake.
But we'll still accept. I'm registered.
Right.
No, I'm not really registered anywhere. But thank you so much. It's always fun, right? But the emotional eating thing, I don't know there's anyone in the world that can't associate with that, or what's the word to associate that they've been through that and had, you know, we all have these emotions and food is a very good thing. However, we have a sort of epidemic in America and around the world now where we are overweight. And one of your pet topics is having this affinity for overweight
right.
people. And
right.
what do you call it?
Well, we have a nonprofit organization that we created called Plus Size Certified
right.
to help doctors' offices and gyms and whatnot all around the world mm-hmm. know how to accommodate and welcome with compassion mm-hmm. people who have obesity or overweight.
Mm-hmm. Accommodate, I love that, because when you say tolerance,
no,
that's
God,
such a
no, no.
that's a word, like, who are we to tolerate anything?
Right, exactly.
Everyone has the right to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
But when getting back to your emotional eating issue, I mean, that can help all of us if we just can have some cognitive behavioral therapy and why we do what we do, and that's what we're here for, and that's why we love it.
So let's explain it. It's very simple. We always feel, not always, but often feel stressed, angry, sad, lonely, the job isn't going right, the finances, the relationship, give me some Doritos or Lay's potato chips or, you know, Orville Redenbacher's popcorn, whatever it may
be.
It
always helps.
All that. It always helps. The problem is, it leaves us with two problems. The problem we've made ourselves upset about, and then eating and then feeling guilty that we've eaten. Yeah. I have a slide that summarizes the whole thing.
A bit of a vicious cycle,
the first,
huh?
The first slide, there it is. If hunger isn't the problem, folks, eating isn't the solution. We have to keep that in our minds. Look at the next slide, because this really pictures the whole scenario. We feel badly emotionally. We tell ourselves, I'm upset and I deserve to comfort myself with food. Or if I'm upset, the only way I can possibly calm down is by eating. So we eat. Then what happens? We feel guilt, shame, or remorse. And then what do? We eat some more.
It's
and then we feel badly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over 30 million people in America today have a formal eating disorder. Anorexia, binge eating disorder, bulimia, nervosa, whatever it might be.
How many?
Over 30 million, a little more than 10% of the country. Over 100 million people in our country, though, have obesity, about 40% plus minus. Mm-hmm. Another two-thirds or so have overweight. So this is a very serious issue.
Right, and I love it when you differentiate. There's normal weight,
right.
Then overweight, then obesity. So
right.
When you say obesity, it's not just interchangeable with overweight. It's one step up where it gets a bit dangerous, to be honest.
Well, it's a disease.
Yeah.
It's a physiological disease. It is not an emotion. Obesity is not an emotional disease. It's not about willpower.
Mm-hmm.
It goes far beyond that.
Sure.
Emotional eating, though, let me show you what emotional eating is. Our next slide will describe it. Emotional eaters are people whose minds repeatedly move their hands toward food, even when they're not hungry. It's compulsive. They feel unable to control their eating. They may seem self-destructive, but it's always an attempt to help themselves. It's an attempt to manage mood with food. But as I said at the beginning, if hunger isn't the problem, food isn't going to solve it. So how do you know if you are what we call a neck up or a neck down eater?
I suppose you're going to tell us how to fix this.
Right now. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
So let's look at the next picture. And this describes it there. If you're an emotional or neck up eater, your hunger comes on suddenly.
Okay.
I just want that slice of pizza or that chocolate ice cream.
It's one carbs, right?
carbs increases serotonin, so of course we feel better for a little bit.
Oh.
It begins in our mind. We imagine that cupcake, and it's demanding. You have to eat now. Always some sort of upsetting emotion. And unfortunately, when you feel full, you don't stop. What we want to do is be physical, in the stomach, below the neck eaters. I'm hungry right now. As you and I are talking, I haven't had lunch. My stomach is rumbling.
Doc.
Yeah, but I'm open to different foods, water, whatever it might be. Based in my stomach, I feel hungry. It's patient. I can wait to eat until later. And when I'm full, I stop. That summarizes it really nicely. If we can focus on the gradual, let's be open to different kinds of things. I definitely feel stomach rumbling. It'll wait. It doesn't happen. I'm not going to die if I don't eat now. It's a craving. It'll pass. It stops when I'm full. I can go on.
If that's not a testament to the mind-body connection, because who hasn't been there and thought about food and had their mouth water, and then you realize it is psychological. Maybe it's not my stomach that's hungry. It's just my mind, and that's why I want that pizza, for heaven's sake. Late at night always,
exactly.
Right?
Well, in fact, emotional eating is particularly related to what's called a binge eating disorder or a night eating syndrome.
Well, night eating syndrome,
yeah,
I love this.
At 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, we start foraging around and we convince ourselves, I've had a tough day, I deserve this. But think about that for a moment. What does your tough day have to do with this cupcake? Nothing.
Are you sure, Doc?
I'm positive. And as I tell my clients, as you're walking through the mall and you see the Dunkin' Donuts, whatever it may be, and you say, those donuts are calling my name. If you hear donuts calling your name, you need a psychiatrist.
Some other kind of help, right? But we've all been there, haven't we?
Of course.
Donuts, pizza.
Of course. And we think it's going to solve some emotional issue. It doesn't. It makes it worse. Mm-hmm. And there are definite things that we can do about this.
Good to know. What are they, Doc?
Well,
I think we got a minute, guys, right?
Okay, good. So let's go to the next slide. Quickly, I'll show you some thoughts I have. First of all, the culprits are unrealistic, inaccurate, distorted, illogical, and irrational thinking. If you've got a craving, tell yourself, hey, it's going to pass. I won't be feeling this craving forever.
So we need to get a drink of water or something.
Absolutely. And that comes from Judy Beck in the Beck Diet Solution, a great book I recommend to everyone. So let's go to the next slide and we'll take a look at this. Overweight thinkers think that hunger means I have to eat. It doesn't. I can't stand being hungry. I love the feeling of being full. Mm-hmm. I comfort myself with food. I'm helpless when I'm gaining weight. There's nothing I can do about it.
This seems really like, when you talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, this seems like a prime example of ways. Okay, so we're going to hold you over and talk more about that, because this is something we really need to get through. We've got to help ourselves, Doc. And we're back on America Trends with Dr. Michael Mantel right after this. I'm a sucker for you. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. Is what you think. So says the latest book by Dr. Michael Mantel. And there it is. Trying to get it out of the light. And you can find it on Amazon or his website. Is it drmichaelmantel.com?
Yes, it is. Exactly. There it is. Right there.
Along with a couple of his other bestsellers. And that is such, the link is what you think is so appropriate for this topic, Doctor.
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah.
Think about it. So we upset ourselves about traffic, our career, our relationships, our health, you name it. And then we feel so upset
that we need a cupcake.
We say, the only thing that's going to calm me down is that donut or that cupcake or that slice of pizza. And or we tell ourselves more nonsense like, oh, you know, I deserve it. Or I'm celebrating. What is the big deal? Have that extra slice. So like I tell people, you can either have that extra slice and, you know, feel good for a moment, or you can maintain your weight if that's important to you. But doing both probably won't work. So we were talking about what people can do about this. We have to understand the way we think. The link is what you think, and the book covers a lot of this. The way we think governs our feelings, and that determines how we behave. Behaving. That's the way it works. Believing, feeling, eating is the way this all works.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take a look and we'll see where we are in terms of, yeah, there we are. So overweight thinkers, as we just said, focus on issues of unfairness. It's not fair. I should be able to eat whatever I want. I'm so upset. This really helps me calm down. And of course, it doesn't. So the next slide for me summarizes everything.
Oh, yeah, me too. Right.
Oh, that's not fair. We should be able to eat that. Who says that?
Except it's morning. It goes with coffee. Come on, Doc.
I should be allowed to.
Right.
When you see this or anything like this, you ask yourself, okay, stop. What am I thinking and feeling right now? First, what am I thinking? And if you hear yourself saying things like, I deserve it, I've been good all day, I'm just so uptight, this makes me feel calm. You ask yourself then, come on, seriously? I have a couple of steps that I've put together for people on how to combat this whole emotional
reasoning. This is what we need, Doc.
Let's go to the next slide, actually. If you eat from your head up, 5 points. Number one, we need a hunger fullness scale where 0, I am full, 10, I'm just absolutely starving. We want to generally walk around in that 4 to 6 range, right? Okay. Am I physically hungry? What am I feeling? What do I really need? And then stop. We want to be mindful. We have no awareness anymore. We're so running around, you know, constantly, we don't stop to check in.
And they always say don't eat in front of the TV where you're mindlessly eating and not paying attention.
Or the cell phone at the table.
Sure.
Right? So we want to be mindful. Give thanks. Understand where it comes from. Savor. Put the fork or spoon down. Swallow completely. Enjoy the smell, the texture, and taste. When I say give thanks, I do a little experiment real quickly. You remember Juan Valdez, right?
Yeah.
The coffee guy,
yeah.
Right? Okay. So we have a cup of coffee. How many people do you think we could stop mindfully and thank for that cup of coffee when we go to our Starbucks?
Oh, endless, right? Jeez.
Think about it. First, there's Juan, who picked the beans. Mm-hmm. Then there's his wife
who planted them.
The people who planted them, the people who packaged them, the tires on the truck that drove it to the facility, the people who built it goes on forever. If you want to be mindful over a cup of coffee and thank God and everything that he brought to this planet for what's in that cup of coffee, not just the barista, that's mindful
eating. That reminds me of the kids that say, I hate it when people kill cows and kill animals for food. I just get my meat at the store.
Love that. So let's go on to the other points here.
Sorry.
And that is breathe deeply. Imbalanced breathing. You take in, you breathe in to the count of three, you exhale to the count of six, or inhale to the count of four, and out to the count of eight. Mm-hmm. That calms you down. What do you want to achieve by your eating right now? What is there about this particular food? Will you die or suffer if you don't eat now? Mm-hmm. And then choose. You have the opportunity to choose the healthy behavior. If you can do those five things, ask yourself how hungry you are, be mindful, do some breathing, ask yourself what the point is of your eating right now, and then choose your healthy behavior. You're not mindlessly eating from the neck up. You're in control.
Do you talk, does nighttime Amy feel, remember what the morning Amy is going to say, oh, why did you do that last night? You didn't need to eat. Eating before bedtime, we hear, is one of the worst things to do.
Oh, he's right, within a couple of hours of going to sleep.
Yeah.
So how important is that ice cream right now? Well, for me last night, it was very important. And the key is...
You want to share, Doc?
Sure. I have my 70-calorie ice cream, and my wife always says, yeah, well, you put 300 calories in that. But the point I want to make is if you're going to have the ice cream or that slice of pizza, leave yourself alone. Have it. You've convinced yourself this is going to calm you down. Have the ice cream and have the pizza, have the donut, and leave yourself alone.
Don't do a landslide where you say, well, I've had pizza, now I might as well have the, I already blew it, let's have ice cream, and then beat yourself up even more.
And then when you wake up in the morning, you have such self-loathing mm-hmm. and body hatred,
yeah.
I'm gonna eat some more.
Yeah.
And that's that vicious cycle that we talked about. This topic, emotional eating, affects everyone. We are all victims of our own mm-hmm. erroneous thinking, and we can control it.
Interesting. About a minute and a half. So should we, you almost need a book on this, Doc. My goodness.
With all a lot of it is in that book. The link is what you think.
Yeah.
The idea is that we think and then we feel and then we act. So if we don't like the way we're acting, go back to what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And that list of the opportunity to be mindful, slow down, put the fork down.
What should we do? I know that people can go to your website mm-hmm. and you can talk to anyone all around the world
and
consult with them. Mm-hmm. When should we know that we should need to get someone like a cognitive behavioral therapist to help us with something?
Well, or coaching. I think the point is that when you feel your emotions are beyond healthy, so for example, sadness, frustration, concern, you don't need to speak to anyone necessarily. I mean, it's always helpful, but when they begin to move into real sadness, depression, or anxiety that has you crippled, that's when you need some help. When your anger is more than just, I'm so annoyed. I think that, you know, people check in, they say, this isn't right, this doesn't feel right. Call me. I talk to people in Bangkok, in London, in Australia, all around the world.
Or easily write drmichaelmantel.com.
Absolutely.
Can't thank you enough, and we'll see him back here next week. Thanks again. Welcome back to America Trends. Glad you have been with us for the hour. We say thank you to our guest, Senator Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend the President. He was here with us chatting about the political headlines of the day. Always appreciate him so much. And Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of The Link Is What You Think. He was talking about emotional eating. And I'm sure we've all dealt with that at some point or another, and he gave us some really good tips. Go to drmichaelmantel.com for more information and to get his books and things like that. And we also hope we see you on social media and our websites. We have our website, u2america.com and ytaclub.com, and then Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we really hope to see you there. Finally, as we head out, we want to share a little bit more from President Trump's speech, his talk to the Faith and Freedom Coalition from earlier today. We're going to send you out with that, and we thank you for being along with us.
We're fighting for all Americans, and we're embracing the faith community. We are embracing it like it hasn't been embraced in many, many years. You know that. And when we're doing that, we're uplifting our nation. We're greatly uplifting our nation. When I asked for your support in 2016, Americans of faith were under assault. But the shameful attempt to suppress religious believers ended the day I took the oath of office. And now, by the way, because of what we did with respect to the Johnson Amendment, you know what I'm talking about? Our leaders, like all of the people that have been so supportive, our pastors, our ministers, our priests, our rabbis, all of our religious leaders, we're allowed to speak again. We're allowed to talk without having to lose your tax exemption, your tax status, and being punished for speaking. And the people that we most want to hear, our great clergy, is now able to speak without fear of retribution. And I'm very proud of that. I said I was going to do that. I'm very proud of it. They can speak, unless they speak against me, in which case we'll bring it back. We'll bring back that Johnson Amendment so fast, Sean. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. They're going to take it. Seriously, you know, they're going to go out. We have breaking news. They're going to say, see, I told you he wants to be a dictator. I told you that. They are unbelievable what they do. You have to say it with a big smile on your face. Otherwise, and that, even that doesn't work. Bill understands that, right, Bill? We're cherishing our nation's religious heritage once again. My administration has taken historic action to protect religious liberty. We're protecting the conscience rights of doctors and nurses and teachers and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. We're with them. Made a lot of progress. We've taken action to uphold free speech on college campuses. Colleges are now, by the way, looking around very carefully when they throw conservatives and religious folks off of their campuses. Looking around very, very carefully because they have a big, fat, beautiful monetary penalty to pay. I haven't heard too much about it since I did that a few months ago. Do you notice that? I haven't heard so much about that. We give them billions and billions of dollars, and then they don't let people speak. And I don't care. Liberal, conservative, it doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat. But you can't do that. We're preserving our country's vital tradition of faith-based adoption. And we're proudly defending the sanctity of life